Podcast, devoted to bringing you some spiritual truth to consider every day, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us. We're continuing our study through the book of Galatians on Thursdays. We're going to pick up in Galatians 3, starting in verse 15, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. This is kind of a long passage, so hang with me. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to his offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one. And to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I was joking yesterday, it was our son Oliver's birthday on Tuesday, and I was joking with a friend that somehow we had two firstborn children. That our first two kids both have that firstborn, I'm going to conquer the world, I have a lot of thoughts and opinions, stay out of my way kind of energy. In different ways, they're their own person, but they both have firstborn child energy. Our son Oliver does not. And he's about the age, well really he's past the age, when our first two had already learned how to ride a bike, and he has not yet. And we talked to him about learning, and he says, maybe I'll do that when I turn six. He's just not in a hurry. He is enjoying life. He's not pressing on, not pressing forward. He doesn't feel that same energy that the first two do. And until you do learn how to ride a bike, you can. You can ride a bike. But you ride with what? Training wheels. Training wheels are something that allow you to get the experience of riding a bike until you learn how to balance, to maintain speed, to be able to stay up on a bike with just two wheels. And once you learn how to ride a bike with two wheels, do you want to put those training wheels back on ever? No, it impedes your ability to ride a bike well and successfully and to have speed and be able to turn and do things that you can do riding a bike without training wheels. In many ways, this is what Scripture is referring to here as the law, and how and why it was given. This was a long passage. There's a lot here that we could unpack. But the main idea is this. Last week, we talked about what the law was not intended to do. This week, we're talking about what it was for, why God did give us the law. And Paul goes back to Abraham, which is a while before Moses, which is the person to whom God gave the law on Mount Sinai. God gave a promise to Abraham, saying, through you the whole world will be blessed. And he gave this covenant to Abraham and to his offspring. Now, this has multiple meanings, and the one that Paul's referring to here is that Abraham's offspring is referring to Christ. That God gave a promise to Abraham that the world would be blessed, that he would call out a people for himself, and he would use Abraham and his offspring to do it. And so what Paul is arguing here is that the law didn't come for another 430 years later, at which point it was given to God's people. But that wasn't nullifying the promise that God gave to Abraham. And Abraham, as the New Testament points out, is the man of faith. So now that Christ has come, now that the fullness of time has been revealed, we do not need the law in the same way as the Old Testament believers did. It was, in a negative sense, a prison. Because it revealed to God's people their sinfulness and their need for a Savior, their need for a better way, These constant sacrifices that they were making could never fully remove the guilt and stain of sin. But it was also a guardian. It also had a positive effect that it revealed God's character, His holiness, the kind of people that God wanted for His own. But now, as Scripture says, the fullness of time has come. Christ has been revealed, and we become God's people by faith. So the law, which was a guardian, which was a signpost pointing to a need for a Savior, is not intended to continue to be the way that we ride a bike. It is not the way that we live out our Christian walk. It is by faith. This does not mean that God doesn't have standards for the way that we as His people are to live. This is why we have a New Testament. The law of Christ, as Paul refers to elsewhere, is the way that we represent God. It's been said before that we are the only scripture that many people will ever read. So how do we reveal God's character and the kind of people that those who have a relationship with Him are? We want to be people who love sacrificially. We want to be people who do not follow the pattern of the world and give into sinfulness and into our more hedonistic nature. We are people who walk in the Spirit, and we walk in the Spirit by faith. What does this mean for us today? It means that we primarily engage in our relationship with God, not by checking all the boxes, not by getting straight A's so that our parents will give us a pat on the back. No, we pursue relationship, and we pursue this relationship by faith, by trusting in God and pursuing Him for His sake. Now, what that looks like, ultimately, you know, God says that if you love me, you will obey my commands. It means that we will live a life that looks different than the world. But we're not doing this to make ourselves appealing to God. We come to God as we are. And then because we have a relationship with God, we will be changed by His work in our lives. So God, we thank You that we do not have to keep the hundreds of laws in the Old Testament to be able to have a meaningful relationship with You. God, but we thank You also that You love us as we are, but You love us enough to not leave us that way. So help us to lean into our relationship with You, to seek You in the pages of Your Word, so that we might know You more and follow You better. For Your glory and our good, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Let's Talk. Church family, you are loved. Have a blessed day.